The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I knew you'd come.
Delete! 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 Delete!
Bring Freddy Krueger's world, Elm Street. We want to see Bray Wyatt's version of the Boiler Room.
My name is Dario Cueto. My relationship with the wrestlers is very special.
And he's hanging out with Mascarita Sagrada in what looks like his basement. And then his mom shows up with bagel bites. It's glorious.
Oh, that's awesome.
We are scientifically proven to be the best tag team, and not just in NXT, not just in the WWE, but in the entire universe.
Animals, monsters, jumped us from behind. And why? Why did they jump us from behind, Tommaso?
You know why they jumped us from behind.
Tell us why.
I know why they jumped us from behind. Because the one time we stood in the ring with them, the Dusty Classic, when we went toe-to-toe in Los Angeles, we beat the Authors of Pain. Yeah, they took the victory. But we pin their shoulders to the mat for 1, 2, 3.
They jump us from behind because deep down inside, they know we may be small, but they can't beat us.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 229, part 2. And tonight, we are going to be jumping into some great topics. We're going to be talking a little Hall of Fame, who's rumored about going in. And, of course, we'll keep you updated with Kenny Omega. What's going on with that saga? Where is he going next? We'll talk about it. Plus, some other great news topics you're not going to want to miss out on. We're also talking Lucha Underground, what happened this week. And, of course, we're also going to be talking about Impact Wrestling. That's right. They had some interesting things going on as well. So lots of great stuff when it comes to that. We also want to let you know really quickly here that, of course, if you want to find all of our content, you need to go to the W2Mnet.com. Not only are you going to find written stuff, but you'll also find all our audio stuff. Plus a lot more great content when it comes to like video games and football. So you don't want to miss a minute. Go check out that site. Also, if you want to go find us on a podcast near you, whatever podcasting device you use or whatever, I use Podcast Addict, go type in W2M Network. That'll get you not only our podcast, plus a lot more great content. So you don't want to miss a minute. We also want to let you know really quickly, if you didn't hear me mention NXT, well, guess what, guys? NXT now has its own show. That's right. We've already recorded this week's. So if you want to go find that, you'll have to go to W2M Network and find it. Of course, go to W2Mnet.com to find it as well. So trust me, it's a great episode. You're not going to want to miss it. We're doing this because we already do Raw and SmackDown Live as separate review shows. So this just gives you guys an opportunity to take out your own time to go find those WWE shows. And then there you go, right in your docket whenever you want to go check them out. Real quick, just want to also let you know, I'm not alone. That's right. I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. And, of course, with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody? I realized right then, I was like, oh, I'm on mute. Let me mute myself.
Well, I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you unmuted yourself. And, of course, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Hey-o.
And, guys, we got a lot of great content to talk about tonight. And, of course, we're running a little bit late, a day late, actually, but that's okay. We've had a lot of crazy things going on. And, of course, Sean had a big episode of Video Games to the Max last night, right, Sean? I mean, that was a big deal. You were covering a live event at the time, so we kind of, moved over a night. That way you guys could get that stuff done. That was kind of a time thing, but I'm glad y'all got a chance to get to do it.
What are we talking about? I'm sorry.
I was just mentioning your Video Games of the Max podcast last night.
Oh, yes. I mean, We did. We got to talk about for like about an hour about that Switch presentation, and lots of negative online, lots of positive online. Doesn't matter, because every freaking place on planet Earth, those things are sold out right now. So you can talk shit all you want to. Nintendo's just rolling in the money.
Yeah. God, I wish I was. But
don't we all, Gary? Don't we all?
I just want to do that Scrooge McDuck thing and just jump into a pond of money. But anyway,
that is the goal of life.
Yeah, no.
Jump in the, you know, or you can jump in the showers. You know, some golden ones like Donald Trump.
Oh, Jesus, Sean. Woo! Not everyone's fantasies need to be let alone on this. This is save it for Gary After Dark, for God's sakes.
We had to start it early.
Yeah, I know, right? Start those. Yeah, anyway. But also, you know, we have to mention, too, we're not late, too, because, you know, Paul had a great game to go to last night. So, I mean, I'm sure he was worn out after cheering his head off last night. So, I mean, I'm sure you had an exciting time at the hockey game.
Yeah, I'm a big Dallas Stars fan, and they got to dominate Detroit, who I loathe with a passion. So it's always a great time. Winning 5-2 and dominantly, so definitely a good time.
Yeah, it probably wore you out. I'm sure you were screaming a lot. So,
you know, you've been to me with wrestling shows. I'm not usually that loud of a person. Even if I'm into it, so.
Well, you know, I have, and you know, I just thought maybe it was me. When I've been with you, I thought, you know, maybe I'm kind of making him nervous, like Gary's not freaking out, so maybe I shouldn't, kind of thing. So I didn't know. I thought maybe you went nuts at a hockey game or something.
No, I'm usually I'm not a loud person in general.
I'm not either. So hey, we have that. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, this Sunday, I'm going to be a freaking loud person, because my team is, of course, in a big game, Cowboys versus the Packers. And, you know, this guys, I mean, it's sad and it's kind of weird, but I've really just been into this. I mean, I've been really excited about this game. And I, in fact, was telling a friend of mine, I said, dude, you know, we've got to watch this game, and we're going to get together, and my wife and his wife will be hanging out while we watch this exciting game. And I've already determined I'm going to break my rule. I haven't worn a Cowboys jersey during a game this year, but I'm going to. I'm going to do it, and I hope it doesn't jinx them. I'm kind of getting off the jinx train. I'm just going to forget about that. I don't think that's going to have any hindrance. But I now understand what women go through, guys. I really, really do, because I really feel like a woman. Sorry, Shania Twain, but I do too now. And the reason... God. The reason I do is because my friend is going to wear a Jason Witten jersey. I have a Jason Witten jersey, but it's the only current Cowboys jersey I have, because I can't wear my Romo stuff because he's not starting. Gary. So I can't wear the Romo stuff. Please, I can't wear my Michael Irvin jersey. I can't wear the old stuff. And now think about this.
Wear the old stuff?
Because it's a new generation. I got to wear the new stuff. So... I it's old. You know, God. Someone may see me in that and go, that's last year's. That's so 90s. And then if I go buy it.
Stop. You really are. I want to go buy. Stop it.
I know. And I want to go buy a new jersey, but I could go buy the new jersey. Or, you know, that's going to be kind of time consuming. Or I could just wear my jersey that I wore at my wedding, which is customized with my name on the back. So
there you go.
Lean towards that.
You can't ever go wrong with that, Gary.
I appreciate it. So there you go, people. That's how I feel like a lady right now. But that's okay. You know, hey, it's the 2017. I think that's okay now, right?
At least you're not a dude that looks like a lady.
I love that song.
It's going to be such a tough game for those Cowboys, too. Like, Green Bay might be the hottest team in the playoffs right now. They've been on a roll since they've gotten everybody back. So that's going to be a great game.
Yeah, I just pray my heart doesn't get broken. But I have a lot of confidence. And really quickly, Paul, me and Sean already made our picks on the Football to the Max show. So if anybody wants to hear mine and Sean's picks, please go look at that show. Plus, not only that, Rochelle, a San Diego Chargers fan, was on that show with us. Great interview and just a great time talking about somebody who has the heart of San Diego. Just go check out that. But Sean, Paul, really quickly, who's your picks for this weekend?
I I'll say this. I think whoever wins Cowboys-Green Bay is going to the Super Bowl for the NFC. I think New England's coming out for AFC. And I think whoever makes it to the Super Bowl with New England, I hope they beat the pants off of them. I really, really do.
So you're not willing to go on the limb and say the name. You're just going to leave it there.
I don't want to incite bad feelings.
So you think it's the Packers? That's okay.
I think the Packers have just been so hot. I would feel it'd be rough to guess against. And especially because as great as Dak and Zeke have been this year, and as much as I think they've really changed the culture for what the Cowboys are going to be going forward for the next 3, 5, 10 years, I think the rookies might show a couple cracks. And okay, the Packers are they're seasoned, right? They've been through this so many times. And, you know, the refs, they hate when the Cowboys make good catches. So you got that working against you, too.
Fair enough. So there you go. Thank you for your opinion. Hey, I'm always interested. We've heard it from a lot of people. So we'll see. Big weekend for us, fans of the Cowboys, fans of the Packers, fans of, all these teams in the, playoffs. So if you're a fan of whatever team, I hope you do well. But record, now
I am a loud person when it comes to my sports. So I
know. Oh, trust me, people. You don't know. Sean, kind of calm, collective here on the podcast, but trust me, I've sat in the room with him during not only Cowboy games, but also soccer games, and the dude jumps off the couch and runs and circles. It's awesome. I respect it. It's a lot of fun to watch games with Sean. So
you guys have not lived until you've watched a Broncos game with my mother. It is the loudest affair I might have ever been a part of in my life.
Oh, my God. I've got to sneak over there and check that out. So. But anyway, this is awesome. I love
the
this
best
talk,
part is when you can like now I can get Anaya into it. She'll be like, "Oh, what are you cheering about? Oh, yay!" And then she starts running around. It's great.
Yeah, that is awesome. My daughter's still not concerned about anything unless it's hers. So later on, she'll get my stuff.
Right.
So. But, yeah, enough of all this. This has been fun. But we need to talk wrestling, guys. We have a lot of wrestling content to get into. And we're going to jump into some news first here and some quick hits. And don't forget also, I didn't mention earlier, but we are going to have a Superstar of the Week. And you're not going to want to miss this week's picks. So, we'll save that for later, though. It's time to talk wrestling news. Let's do those.
Now we get to see if
The drop
wants to work this week.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Hooray.
Yay. All right. Well, let's start off by talking Kenny Omega. I promised we'd get into it. And, we're still waiting to find out his decision. Of course, he's let everybody know that he's not sure if he's going back to Japan. Even alluding to the fact that he, could be doing some other things like even possibly joining WWE, which would be kind of interesting. But his contract's not up till, January 31st. So that probably leaves the Rumble out for sure. But, there's other great companies out there that he might want to be, partnering up with. The one thing that's interesting about this whole process is the fact that we've seen that New Japan has actually offered him a 2-year deal. But there's some other things that are involved in this, Sean, that, people are unaware of and why he's not just jumping on this 2-year deal. So why don't you give some background on this?
Well, from various places, including, the Observer, just reading stuff and listening to podcasts of people, and just, it seems like maybe I was being a little bit too hasty about brushing it off last week, that perhaps maybe he is considering things, based on, perhaps New Japan is not going to just rush into putting Kenny Omega right back into the title picture, or maybe they are, but it seems like it's not a guaranteed thing for him, and it might be frustrating considering he just had perhaps one of the best matches that ever existed with Mr. Okada on, and they just had the Access TV yesterday with Jim Ross and Josh Barnett calling that match. So if you want to go try to find that out, I've heard the commentary by Mr. JR is tremendous. So, I know, Paul, this is one of these things that's like, it keeps getting more and more things keep piling on as the weeks go by.
So I'm a little bit more torn on it than I was. I still think Kenny stays. I don't see a giant reason for him to move over. And I only say this because of two reasons. One, Kenny is probably the most over Gajan, even more so than AJ Styles was in the last however long in Japan and forever. You know, Stan Henson, Bader, Joe Doering over in All Japan's pretty over, but I don't think they've been on Kenny's level, right? He is super over, and that might be staying a lot, especially in comparison to Stan Hansen, but he's so involved in not only Japan and that culture over there, he's fluent in Japanese. He's this, like, ready-made star for them, for New Japan, to get ready to cross over if they ever do into more English-speaking countries. Canada, which is where Kenny's from, obviously, the States, where Kenny's cultivated a great relationship with a bunch of different promotions as well, has gotten himself over relatively well with guys like us, and all these other things. But if he was going to make the move to WWE, I think the only reason AJ went to WWE was because he was that top guy for New Japan. He won the IWGP Championship twice. He did well as far as selling out Sumo Hall and various other places across where New Japan goes, right? Kenny hasn't really been given that shot yet, and I don't think that's going to translate into the same sort of thing that AJ has gotten. I could be talking out of my butt.
AJ also has kids that he wanted to be closer to seeing, too. You know, so he had a family reason to go.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it might be much for people to expect Kenny getting the same treatment that AJ did if he did happen to leave New Japan.
Well, I mean, I think we need to remember also that perhaps even though AJ got that huge ovation during the Royal Rumble or whatever, he basically had to work his way into earning where he's at, right? So, like, Omega might have to do the same thing. And he may not get the ovation that AJ got because mm-hmm. you have to remember they're in Orlando where he has all the TNA history and everything. Is there even a spot where you have a show and it serves right for Omega? I mean, so that's another thing too, is we might be overestimating this and you have a lot more people that don't know who Kenny Omega is and he doesn't get anywhere near what AJ got that night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think you look. Interesting... Huh? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. Go ahead. Move on.
The other thing I think I would look at too is where New Japan is at right now. If they don't have the most eyes in Japan looking at them, certainly worldwide they do. They've cultivated a new audience. I think Kenny Omega, whether they want to admit it or not, is a big reason for that. And maybe a lot of the other Gajan signings that they've done, too, when you look at the Young Bucks or Cody Rhodes now is another great example. Stuff like that, I think, is more reasons why they've gotten this international audience. I think you would want to continue to capitalize on that. And the talk of him not being guaranteed the title at some point this year after what he did at Wrestle Kingdom is a little mind-boggling. And especially when you look at the idea of now, if you could have a great faction warfare between Chaos, LIJ, Bullet Club, and the returning Suzuki Gun, where you could really work those four leaders around the title picture if you wanted to. The fact that you don't see Kenny Omega as a big piece of that, I think it is silly.
Yeah, that is pretty silly, honestly. Especially what he did, you have to... People want to see him, and the thing is, too, like you mentioned, the moment he flips that switch and they start letting him talk Japanese... That's explosion already happened. I mean, and we saw it in the G1. We've seen it in other shows where he gets the women behind him. He gets men behind him. I mean, even as a heel, he gets people behind him. So imagine. I don't know how you can't capitalize on that.
And the wounds, I have to imagine, is that New Japan suffered only a year ago, a little more than a year ago now, whenever they lost Nakamura and Styles and Gallus and Anderson. I have to believe that the only reason they're not jumping on doing this is because they're gun shy. Because they never know when he's going to leave.
Very true. Very true. And that's a big deal. And I think it could be a major contributor to this. And I look at this also as being a situation where I think Kenny Omega saw those guys leave and has put himself in that position of saying, okay, well, what can I really get if I do leave New Japan? You know, can I get inside a system like WWE where I'll be treated just as well as some of those guys have been? Or will I be, you know, better off moving on and going to some other countries and working a lot of dates other places instead of just being in Japan exclusively? So I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think this is just purely one-sided. I think both parts of this equation are looking at their best interest at heart and trying to make that decision. And I think it'll come sooner than later. I don't think it's going to be a long time before we actually get this whole settled and, you know, figure it out. But Kenny Omega is a great talent. I think New Japan would be remiss if they thought about just moving on without this guy. He is great, and he's really great for their company. So,
I would also mention for you, Gary, that almost every single one of their big shows from now till June is going to have English commentary. So that's another step, is that they've committed this year to a lot of their shows are going to have English commentary on it. It'll be Kevin Kelly and somebody else. I hope to God it's not Matt Stryker. But somebody else.
If it's Stryker, I'm watching every episode. But anyway.
Shoot me now.
I love it. I love that. That's sexy.
You know,
voice.
And something we didn't notice about the when we talked about the WrestleMania press conference or whatever, Stephanie mentioned one Mr. Hulk Hogan's name. Perhaps he is coming back at some point.
What do you do? What do you do with it?
Like, are you really going to have him go around a bunch of different countries now with that thing on him? Unless he just wants to go around, you know, swimming in that $31 million, brother.
Yeah. Could you imagine? No, I mean, really, honestly, mentioning now, dropping his name may get us prepared for him showing up at, you know, WrestleMania 33. Bad idea dropping him at WrestleMania 34, though. That's not
why,
you know,
he can finally be in
time.
The Superdome.
Yeah. Oh my God, he'll get it mixed up again. But anyway, I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's something that's going to eventually happen, and it's probably sooner than later. So I guess why not? It's just, are people going to forgive him? And I think some people have. But I think there's going to have a lot of lashback at people who have not.
That's what I'm worried about, too.
Yeah, I mean, you have that PR nightmare, and what do you do with him? I have no idea what you do with him. Other than, like, brand ambassador or something, but...
Just let him come back for special appearances. You don't need to keep him around for all these different other things. Just every once in a while, bring him back and let
him. Please don't let him be a GM.
No,
for God's sakes,
do not even mention that, Sean. No, if you guys want me to stop watching his show,
we'll get the TNA this shit again, where he comes out every 10 seconds.
Jesus, he's going to demand a rematch with Goldberg, isn't he? Anyway.
God.
He's not a young man anymore. He could die.
Yeah, like, he could become paralyzed.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to speak anything else into existence with Hulk Hogan. But I just, please.
Oh, whatever. You know you want to say it, Gary.
I know I do want to say it, but it's not good to put out there in the universe. But, you know, moving on from, we'll see. Hulk Hogan, I think there'll be mixed emotions about that, but I just hope we don't have to see him every day. I'd rather see Eric Bischoff. But
I cannot agree with you more.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff was entertaining as the World GM.
Yeah, he was, but, you know, I have a history with him too, so I think it goes back to that nostalgia. But anyway, there are some other things that are interesting in this week's news. And one of those is the fact that, you know, we've seen this UK tournament, and we've seen that, you know, they're going to have their own title for it, and, you know, the excitement that's behind it. WWE's considering moving on with this, and not just the UK, but having other tournaments like an Asian championship and a Latin American championship tournament. So, these are some other things that they are definitely looking into and could be very real possibilities. How do you feel that, Paul? I mean, do you think this is a little too much, or do you think it's the right idea?
I believe the first time whenever they talked about actually having this UK championship tournament, we talked about this idea of them expanding the idea outwards across the world. And for me, I mean, those two championships right there make the most sense, because I think that's probably where wrestling is the most prevalent, right? You have the big, all the stuff going on in Japan and whatever else you have going on across China and, you know, Hong Kong and stuff like that. Markets that WWE has tried to cultivate and grow into heavily in the last 5 to 10 years. And Mexico, of course, you know, you have the giant Lucha Libre scene there in Mexico, of course, and you have stuff in Puerto Rico and all those, the rest of the countries. I'm not at all surprised at this. I think it adds another tier of brand scouting and stuff like that to what WWE wants to do as far as building this global brand that they're so set on doing. I don't know if it's too much too soon. It very well could be, because I don't know how well this is all going to work. We don't even know how the UK thing is going to work out. And I mean, that's this weekend, which I'm kind of excited to watch, but I can't say I'm not in favor of it, because honestly, it's not hurting the indie scenes that they have there. It's just guys they're paying to stay away from other competition, and that might suck in the long run, but for now, I'm kind of on board with the idea.
Well, Latin America, that is kind of gonna screw people, because they would be working on TV in AAA or CMLL. So if they don't work there, where are they working?
There's still an indie scene in Mexico. It's just not nearly anything that you have in Japan or here in the States or in Canada or anything like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, are people really going to sign and go, hey, but you can't work with two big promotions or probably Elite either. So
I mean, like, it still leaves you at Perros de Mal and some other places.
Yes, I mean, that's like where you're getting like, I mean, I guess if WWE's paying you enough to where basically you can just sit at home or not have to work as much, I guess it wouldn't matter, but that's where I would worry. Like in Asia, obviously, you know, we could probably run down a list of places you can work that.
TV's weird over there, too, though, because a lot of those smaller promotions do still get specials across Samurai TV or stuff like that, which is how we get it.
I wonder if WWE would care about that, though, because that's a little bit different than, like, I wonder if they see Samurai TV the same as knowing, like, the history of those numbers on those stations are not that great, you know. Mm. Whereas, I think in Mexico, you're still watching those shows, and you know, CMLL is offered digitally now, so it's
CMLL also has a huge presence on YouTube,
right?
Which is another thing. And you can watch both AAA and CMLL on television, at least here in Texas. I don't know about further out than that, because I've never really tried, but
one in Canada on the
and
Fight Network,
of course, Fight Network. So, I mean, obviously, they're trying to cut into competitors across the world now, but I think it could work. We know the UK title tournament guys that have signed on, they're not making lucrative money from the contracts right. They're signing. I think 20K was what was cited as how much you're getting paid. So something.
It's interesting. Kidani was right, though, right? That they were going to have to take over regions now to try to get some of this money back and try to make an impact in other parts of the world. When they get to Asia, it's gonna be really interesting, because they just brought in 3 more Chinese talents to the Performance Center like a week ago. I think we didn't even talk about it, but You know, how much of Asia is them going to be? Are they going after more Chinese talents? Are they actually going to scour around for Japanese talent? What is the Asia contingent going to be for them? And who are they really going to be going after? Do they have? I mean, with the way Regal and everybody else has been scouting, I don't doubt that they have guys that they're looking for and they're probably aiming at. Or whatever, but going to be interesting to see who they actually try to go get.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, this whole tournament situation when it comes to multiples is really interesting to me because it does cut into other world business and, of course, other promotions. So I just think that WWE's trying to find their foothold in everywhere that they can, and this is the best way I think that they know how to do it. But, you know, once again, I don't think that they're going to be able to be exclusive to those, you know, regions. And so I think that the promotions will still do fine, but they'll definitely cut in on their business. So,
do you think we're going to have a TV show for each one of these?
Oh, boy.
That's where I think you might run into problems, is if you try to get too out of hand. We don't even know how well this UK title thing's going to fly or how shows are even going to work for that. So I don't know if you do something weekly with that or if you do it maybe once a month and do like a double shot or something. I don't know. I don't think you do TV for all of them.
Yeah, I mean, good guy. It's not just for the people like us that cover this. I mean, imagine going to the network and going, holy crap. There's now like four shows a week of wrestling on there. I mean, yeah, you're getting something out of your network, but I just can't imagine like the people that all you do is sit around and watch WWE all day.
That's what they want.
Is WWE that? Oh.
I think that's what they want. They want people on that network all day, every day, and they're going to continue to try to continue to build that until they can't build it anymore.
I mean, I love the NFL, but I don't watch NFL Network 24/7. I mean, I'm sure there probably are people that do, but just, you know, the same thing with the NBA. I watch NBA TV sometimes. I don't know. I can't sit there on one thing all day long and be like, all right, I'm just going to have this play in the background while I do this or whatever. Just, I guess kudos to WWE for thinking they can actually pull it off.
I mean, I think NFL and NBA and NHL and all the, I mean, college divisions, for God's sakes, and football and basketball have their own networks. Like, I don't think they do everything they can to pull in viewers, and it's money straight to them. Yeah, it makes a ton of sense business-wise.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, but you're not also spending money producing all these shows, which that gets expensive after a while.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. If you run these in an indie fashion, one or two shows a month, I think you're probably okay.
Yeah, running trying to find a place to run weekly in the UK is going to be hard enough. Trying to find one in Japan and Latin America too, it's like, whoa. You know, mm-hmm. I wonder if. If Vince is like, hey, man, this is getting crazy.
And you have to develop infrastructure for people running those shows and everything. Like, I'm not saying it's not a massive undertaking, but I think it's something they could pull off.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to see it?
I'm interested in the idea. I'm not a fan of everything WWE does, but I certainly have grown up with them my entire life. It's that double-edged sword, right, where how much of a monopoly do you really want them to have over wrestling? Because there are people out there who condemn them and think they're the devil. So,
right.
Yeah.
What do you think, Gary?
You know, I think that it'd be interesting. I really do. I think it'd be fun, but, I mean, there's so much content that you can take in, and I don't know. I'm not sure that I would be able to take in all that content. And, you know, I could try. But, you know, once again, as much as I love wrestling and watching wrestling, my life doesn't revolve around wrestling. And so that would be kind of hard to, you know, get into each, you know, different tournament, each different show that they would have. I just think the whole process is interesting. It's going to be cool. But, man, making them each shows, making them each really important, it's going to be tough. I think that they need to, in a way, but maybe not on a global scale.
I'd imagine you'd have to hire writing teams just for that. Because God knows you can't extend the writing team even further.
Oh, no. And think about the fact that you're going to have, you know, make your production even bigger. You know, not as in, you know, scale, but I'm just talking about when it comes to the numbers of people you have working in that field. You're going to have to hire more and more and more to keep the quality. Otherwise, you're going to have low quality. So, and WWE's not into that. So, it's really cool. It's a really great thought. And I trust me, I will not be shocked if it happens. I really won't. But until it happens, I guess it will have to just kind of see. But I think it's a good idea. Let's talk about some other thing that's kind of rumored. The Hall of Fame still has people rumored. Of course, we talked about Rick Rude last week, along with Diamond Dallas Page. Big, big rumors for the Hall of Fame. You know, and a few other Hall of Famers have been kind of mentioned out there. The natural disasters is one of those. Of course, that includes Earthquake and Typhoon. Now, hopefully Typhoon is okay. You know, if you don't know him by Typhoon, you probably know him as the Shockmaster Tugboat, or even by his real name, Fred Oatman. He had to go to the hospital, so I hope he's doing well. You know, he's been, you know, talked about of being okay in a few days, so hopefully he will get better. But that's also even more incentive to get him into the Hall of Fame. We're also hearing other names like William Regal, which is awesome, because I think he definitely deserves him personally. You also have Christian, along with IRS, Mike Rotundo. So those are some names to be a part of the possible next year's Hall of Fame. What do you think about this list, guys? What do you think about each of these?
Natural disasters, they weren't a great or even really a history-making team or anything like that. But certainly Earthquake was a big name for the WWE throughout the 80s, and even did more going past that, of course, with the work in the Oddities and Skolga and everything like that. Just, I think it's a name who's sort of synonymous with wrestling, even if you don't know John Tenta past all that work. He did a lot of stuff, of course, in WCW 2 Shark and John Tenta, and God, he did something else too that I'm forgetting, but he's been around, right? He's been a guy that I think certainly deserves it. Typhoon, maybe. Maybe just for the Shockmaster thing alone might be Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah.
I Regal and Christian, I've been big fans of forever. Great workers, guys who, at least as far as Regal goes, who continues to have an influence going past what he's done in the ring, absolutely deserves it. Christian, right up there with Edge as the reasons why he should go in. Multiple-time world champion, multiple-time tag team champion. One of the big stars coming out of the Attitude Era. Mike Rotundo, IRS. Another great name from going as far back as the 70s, even. Big tag team worker, a great tag team worker, and I think somebody who really just got by as being one of those company guys, sort of the same vein as Coco Beware.
I don't have a problem with anybody that's been rumored here. They all deserve it. The people that are saying DDP doesn't deserve it, you need to go shit up a creek. I don't know, man.
I don't... How do you not put DDP in any wrestling Hall of Fame? I don't know.
DDP should be in the Celebrity Hall of Fame for what he's done with DDP Yoga to, like, save lives. I mean, like, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame just for that. Not even if you take the wrestling crap out. I mean, and that he had a heck of a wrestling career. Manager started at 35 wrestling, and then, you know, he wasn't ever the greatest. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, he's not putting on five-star classics, but he's putting on some pretty good matches. He had a character that got over. I mean, he was a big star in WCW. I mean, I don't know. And he did decently in WWE, you know. So
he could have been bigger if there wasn't that stigma around what WWE was doing with WCW guys.
Or doing the stupid stalker gimmick.
Well, I mean, that's WWE hampering him.
He was fine. Like, I enjoyed him when he was just coming in there and he was doing the making fun of Christian with the tantrum. That was great. He was just such a, like, ass.
He wanted you to smile. That's all right? He wanted.
Oh, my goodness. You just got to smile, Sean.
Well, you're a big DDP fan, so I'm sure.
I love DDP. You know, I mean, I think he definitely deserves it. Yeah, he didn't have as long a run as some of these other guys you would point to in the Hall of Fame because, you know, he did get into wrestling as an older man. But at the same point, I think he made a big impact in the short term he was in. And now he's making an impact, like you said, out of the ring. And that's important. And sure, he can go into the celebrity realm. But I think because he was a actual worker and he was a big part of what was going on in WCW, I think he does deserve some love and just, you know, get induction into the regular Hall of Fame. We'll save the Hall of Fame celebrity wing for, you know, people like, you know, Mike Tyson and people like that. But yeah, I'm excited and I hope he does. And like I said earlier, William Regal's another guy I think definitely deserves it. You know, he's a big name for me. And, you know, just, you know, a decent class. If these are the people that they want to induct this year, I'm all game. I like all these names. There's nobody on this list that I really don't agree with, you know? So. But yeah, there you go. That's some of the rumors for the Hall of Fame. Some other news we're going to jump into, and we'll jump in a few rapid hits here really quickly. Let's talk about Samoa Joe. Yeah, we've all talked about him possibly being involved in the Royal Rumble, but the thought process is he will. And it'll also include a giant push into WrestleMania and a big-time match. What do you think?
I mean, I'm all in favor of that. I've been holding on to the slim hope that Joe might be one of the guys that they let come out of nowhere and actually win the damn thing. But you hear talks now of it maybe being a Raw guy, and they use the Chamber to crown a number one contender for the SmackDown side of things, which I think might be equally as an okay idea, but... The talk, I don't know who Joe would wrestle, but I'm a big fan of the idea of him and AJ.
And that would be amazing, getting to relive those TNA days and everything. Not going to be hating on that at all. I've said this multiple times, having Samoa Joe come in as the guy that represents Daniel Bryan, if they want to keep going on with this Miz feud, I'm totally down with that. Would I love for him to be in the big match for the title or for something even bigger? Yeah, but it seems like Undertaker's set to wrestle somebody, probably Roman Reigns, and we're all going to have to get along with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk around still Shane doing something for Mania, too.
Yeah, Shane wrestling, who is it?
I'm blanking. I just remembered reading something about that.
you know, I haven't really heard. I mean, that's a good question.
Shane and AJ? Shane and AJ, right? That's the match?
I don't know. I thought Shawn Michaels and AJ Wright. That's what people wanted to say for a long time.
It's supposed to be for the Rumble, though.
Oh, was that for the Rumble? I didn't know.
Oh, well, yeah, I was looking at WrestleMania, sorry.
No. There was talk of them doing HBK and AJ at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I forgot about
and
that.
And AJ but, was pushing for that thing hard, too. He was like, can we please have that match? I don't blame him. I want to have that match, too.
Yeah, I know. But Shane, I just have no idea. I really don't know who would. I mean, because he already did Taker. And
Dean.
Geez, I mean.
Dean Ambrose is the one this one's bringing up.
Really?
Ooh, wow,
that's
Dean.
Interesting.
What, Shane and
wow.
Dean?
I'm just trying to imagine how they feud.
Oh, well, they're both crazy.
The idea of recapturing the Austin McMahon stuff is another reason I could think of, too.
I guess, but Shane's been a pretty nice guy compared to what Vince is. I mean,
yeah,
I would think it would be the babyface McMahon versus heel other guy.
Really?
I don't know.
They tiptoe that line with Dean so often.
They,
that's true.
I just don't know how. I don't know. It can work. I mean, don't get me wrong. It can work. It's just looking at it just from this point, I'm like, oh, I don't feel good about it. I don't know. Who knows? But lots of great, you know, matches are coming our way. We're going to get those builds. Rumble's going to start it. So, let's, you know, give it one last thing before we move on out of quick hits. And let's talk about some Hollywood news. That's right. We've got Hollywood news today. There will be two guys in the wrestling world doing a new movie, apparently. And those guys are Tommy Dreamer and Kurt Angle in a movie titled In the Ring. This is going to be a comedy. Guys, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess these guys could be funny. Tommy Dreamer's pretty funny. You know, I've seen him on, of course, you know, Edge and Christian's show. He's done a few other things in wrestling that's funny. Kurt Angle's the one that kind of makes me wonder.
Here's the stub. Angle's going to star as this guy leading a ragtag group of pro wrestlers to take on this big multinational corporation that's a rival for him, and it's an extreme quote-unquote federation headed up by Dreamer in a network contract thing. There's a lot of indie names attached to star in this. I really hope this is like knock out of the ballpark hilarious, because that just sounds like a terrible idea for a movie.
It does. Sean, it sounds like straight to Netflix.
Why not? Things do well on Netflix. Right? I mean,
yeah.
You just had like The Crown win Golden Globes. I mean, so.
I still need to finish that show.
So we can make Golden Globes references on here, and it's not terrible. So,
although, you know, like, we all like to see Golden Globes every once in a while, you know.
God, Gary. I just meant that, we didn't shoehorn them into a show. Like, they were still doing on SmackDown. I was like, what the hell, guys?
I know.
But yeah, you know, why not? Kurt Angle's hilarious when he wants to be. And, Tommy Dreamer actually has some... I love Tommy Dreamer on the Edge and Christian show. He was like one of my favorite parts of the show. They just had him do dumb crap. It was great.
Not only that, I mean, he was, you know, sometimes the joke, and he was totally cool with it. And I loved it. So, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see a movie with these two guys involved, plus a lot of the other indie stars.
The freaking bear rug that they had, and he just shows up and he's, oh, I'm just laying here naked, because that's the butt of the joke of this show. It's whatever.
God, so awesome. I love it too much. This would be, a really interesting thing. I really do hope it is straight to Netflix or straight to Hulu or something, because I really want to watch it, but I don't know how much money I would like to spend on it.
Hell, Hulu should just get as an exclusive or something, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of those.
Yeah, true. So we'll see. But guys, that's wrestling news for us this week. Of course, we know we'll have more great stuff for you next week. But now it's time for us to talk some Lucha Underground. That's right. We're going to head over to the temple and get into this week's episode. So we'll be right back with that after this.
We don't have you have to send me that again. I keep forgetting to tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's do it, Paul. Let's jump into some Lucha Underground.
Let's do it. This is, of course, the mid-season finale. They're supposed to be back sometime in the summer. Take that, I guess, for whatever. But we open, Dario meets up with Councilman Delgado. They're talking about Cage and the Gauntlet. And, of course, we know that the Gauntlet has the powers of some dark deity in them. Maybe one that talks to Matt Hardy. We don't know. And Dragon Azteca shows up. He wants to destroy his old enemies, and he wants a match with Matanza because he tried to kill him and Rey. He wants it to be a death match. Delgado and Dario, of course, love violence, so they're all in on that shit. Stryker hypes up that main event, and then we have Vampiro talk about stuff that's going on with Puma and all that good stuff, too. And then we get into Tejano taking on Joey Ryan. This was a fine little match. Tejano ends up winning. sort of a way to get him back on track, as well as play into some of the famous B stuff they have going along with that as he's trying to woo him. And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is okay. Like you're saying here, it was nothing super spectacular, but, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of, you know, progress, I guess you'd say, in a way. But nothing super spectacular at the end of the day. So I was kind of a little bit shocked. I mean, especially for the midseason finale, that this was the way they kind of, I mean, they opened the show, like you said, with other stuff, but being the first match, they usually sometimes will start out with a really good match. And this one was not bad, but it was not something that I would just say was amazing or anything. So, but, and also just to, you know, get into what was going on when you're talking about the beginning of it. I do like, we know we have Vampiro kind of talking more about what's going on with Puma. I like that they're continuing that and giving you a little bit more information because of the fact that, you know, after this midseason finale, I know that story is probably going to explode. So,
From everything I've heard, the back half of this season is supposed to be off the walls insane. So I'm really looking forward to it. And then that's not to say that the beginning has been bad or anything. It's been pretty good. This maybe not as many talked about matches, or maybe just not as much hype, but it's certainly worth your time. This front half of the season, I think, has really drawn well into building up the overall narrative of what Lucha Underground is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mundo gets some straight-up interview time, which is something you don't really get in the ring there. He's the mayor of Slamtown, he's the Lucha Underground champion, and he's pretty much the best, right? He's beaten everybody, no one's believed in him, and despite that, he's got the Worldwide Underground with him. And then he starts talking about the Mac, how he's fat, how he can't last in an all-night-long match, and why he picked it, and stuff like that. Max had enough of that shit. He runs in, beats them all up, stunners for everybody, beats up security. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, once again, I mean, another interview in this show, and I love it because Mundo is so great at being cocky, you know, and just being, I mean, honestly, he just plays it over so well. And, you know, the fact that he called the Mac fat and all that, I'm just loving it. You know, just sitting there like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's sitting there saying that. But, yeah, I mean, I had no idea we were going to have a bunch of guys getting beat like a government mule with stunners. So just like throw that in there because I haven't seen a stunner party in a while and we finally got to see one. So
the Mac was indeed very liberal with the stunners. So
yeah.
And then we get to our next match as Cage takes on a jobber by the name of Vieno. He's got the new gauntlet, and man, Cage is murdering bitches. It's great.
And that's his job, right? Going out there and just taking people out one by one, right? So I love this. You know, Cage is Cage, and you know, I love when he gets to be him.
I should mention that Vieno could be Cortez Castro under the mask. That the police captain gave him to reintegrate himself back into the temple. But, Cage with the gauntlet. I mean, he hits him with the frickin' Steiner screwdriver, which is all kinds of awesome. And, yeah, it's good stuff there.
Yeah.
After the match, Sexy Star attacks Vieno because the mask is spider-themed. So they're playing into that big thing that they got going on with Sexy there. And then we go backstage to where Puma's training. Vampiro gives him some words of wisdom that plays over from the recent weeks. And then Katrina arrives trying to seduce him over to her side because she knows that life changes when you come back from death. Something you only get here in Lucha Underground, by the way, is people knowing what's on the other side.
Yeah.
And they end up getting into this like kung fu sequence, but she disappears because she's all ghost and whatnot.
Yeah, these kung fu sequences are always fun, and you know I just like the intrigue here too. Once again, leading into the second half of the season, you know, with her disappearing, and you're sitting there like, oh man, we know what's going on to happen next. You know, what's the next thing? So I appreciate that, and it kind of leaves you waiting for more. I mean, you really are.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're gonna talk about wanting more. We get to the main event after all this, where Matanza takes on Dragon Azteca Jr. And Matanza just beats the living bejesus out of Azteca here for about 7 minutes. Azteca gets a couple hope spots here and there. They end up rolling all the way up to the bleachers, and Matanza choke slams him through the bleachers. He may or may not be dead. We don't know, because a bunch of smoke comes up through the hole. The ref calls off the match. Here comes Ray to avenge his little protege there. They get in a big fight. Ray slams Matanza into some steel beams and then into a wall, and then he ends up sending him through that storage room. Dario freaks out and kicks everybody out of the temple, and that's how that sort of ends there. And then you get the post-credit scene where Marty is creeping on Melissa Santos, as he usually does. Mariposa sneaks up on him, knocks him out, and kidnaps him, and sort of attacks and laughs at him and stuff like that.
Yeah, that, you know, that was pretty funny. And you know, it's, you know, one of those things that you don't mind seeing, because it's, you know, the guy was creeping, right? But at the end of the day, you do kind of feel bad for him. So, but this whole Matanza thing, I mean, wow, I really love this. And, you know, with this action of, you know, basically chokeslamming a guy through the bleachers, it's almost like you're chokeslamming him to hell, especially with the smoke and all that. But you know what? I mean, with Ray attacking and the way he kind of got the upper hand, I don't blame Dario. I mean, I would be terrified if Rey Mysterio was attacking one of my family members. I mean, this guy's a straight-up killer, so I would not be, you know, I don't blame him at all for being nervous about his brother and all that. So, but yeah, I mean, I thought this was a good way, you know, to really showcase Matanza and Dragon Azteca and just keep us wanting to understand what had really did happen, you know. So this is the first time we've seen this on Lucha Underground, and this is what I love, because they did this in a similar fashion the last time they killed somebody, but at the same point, it's not the exact same way.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if he's dead, obviously, and we've people coming back to life in Lucha Underground ain't no mystery, right? There's a lot of ways it could happen, apparently. But there's so many stories going on around Lucha, and a lot of it is starting to tie into that overall narrative. If you're into all the storytelling that Lucha Underground does, this season has been phenomenal for it.
So many different twists and turns, so many different stories, so much time in the bathroom, which I love. So not, you know, at least we know if somebody else can be just like the Fonz, hold their office in the bathroom. But yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed, you know, I haven't got a chance to see every episode of Lucha Underground this season. I saw a lot of it though. And I've enjoyed what I've seen, and I'm excited about next, you know, part of this and the second half. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to bathroom scenes, I just it's always Drago in there. You have to wonder, do dragons have small bladders? That's the big question.
We'll have to ask Pete. I think he had a dragon. So
that's Lucha.
Yeah, there you go, guys. Well, of course, you know, sadly, it'll be a little bit before we start talking Lucha Underground again. But, you know, we will be back into it once they do reappear on our TV screens. But, you know, like Paul said, a great, you know, first part of this season. But, yeah, now that leads us to another show that we're going to get into, and that is Impact Wrestling. We don't know if still TNA part is there or not. Who cares? It's Impact. That's basically what's the most important here. So we'll talk about that right after this, if we have the drop, right, Sean?
Yes, we do have that one.
TNA Impact Wrestling.
It's the old drop, but it works. Probably because they're not using that Billy Corgan song anymore either anyway. So.
Yeah, you know, I don't even remember if there was even an intro to this episode. I really don't remember that now.
I don't remember it either.
They may not even had it. It's just cold start to the show, I think.
They started doing that more last year, too, these cold starts. Mm-hmm. I should note that they have revealed the full lineup for the annual WXW 16-karat gold tournament, which is from March 10th to 12th, and it includes Cody Rhodes, Paul London, Matt Riddle, David Starr, Tyler Bate, Robert Dressiker, Izja Druganov, Bad Bones, John Klinger, ACH, Timothy Thatcher, Koji Kanemoto, Jeez, Koji Kanemoto, we're bringing it back, and five others to be named later. It's a nice lineup of people there.
Yeah, the 16-karat gold tournament's really developed a nice reputation as being one of those other big tournaments in wrestling that draws a lot of people in the same fashion as Bola or Super Strong Style 16, which is what Progress is trying to get going and all that good stuff. So I usually watch the 16-karat gold tournament every year.
It's going to be on Flow this year, right? That's part of their...
I think West Side's on there now.
Well, there you go. Hopefully we'll be able to watch it. Gary, I know for you, it's like Cody Rhodes keeps doing stuff.
Yeah, I know. He's everywhere, right? I mean, he's an everywhere man kind of guy. So it's cool to see. It really, really is. I'm happy for him. I really think that, you know, he's done a lot of, you know, good things to get himself over around the world. And we've seen kind of Drew Galloway kind of do similar things, right? He's kind of everywhere. So it's good.
You like seeing Paul London again?
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting guy to kind of see again, especially with how nutty he is. But not exactly saying that I love seeing Paul London. It's fine, but not that important to my radar.
Well, at least you can't say Cody Rhodes is a nowhere man. So
I like that.
But Beatles reference for people who don't listen to old music. But
classic.
Anyway, TNA Impact Wrestling, the second week of the new beginning of TNA. They even said new era at one point because, you know, we have to continue to be WWE light. Anyway... So, to continue WWE Light, we have to start with an opening talk segment. I'm joking. This is actually a pretty good segment. EC3 comes out. They actually related the one night only, people. The one night only matters now. Oh my god. Don't give me another 2 hours or something I gotta watch. But no, kudos to Anthem for realizing that maybe you should make these things worthwhile if you're going to be having to do them. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? They used to not matter at all. Now we're starting to make them sort of matter again.
Well, shouldn't they matter, though? Because you're paying money to see them.
And they're $15.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, then that's reasonable. I mean, yeah. If you really... think about it compared to what pay-per-views used to cost you. I think it makes sense, especially if they're not doing it all the time. You should make that money that I'm spending to watch your show and the story that I'm seeing on the money, the show that I'm paying for, relate to the next show I'm watching on your network. So, yeah, I think it's good.
It has me thinking about whether Anthem is thinking about returning to a monthly pay-per-view structure for TNA, if that's in the cards.
It makes sense for them. Doing these, like, making the TV shows some... I mean, they're still doing it. They're doing the... What is that? The Fight Night or whatever? And they're also doing the Race for the Case. I guess it's better than Feast or Fired, but it's the same thing. Except I guess somebody doesn't get fired. Like, okay.
Well, then how are they going to fire somebody?
So.
Maybe they just think Anthem is going to rebrand everything.
Maybe.
Oh, man.
Like, they even... God. EC3 even talks to the damn Anthem Owl, for God's sakes. Can we just not mention the damn Anthem Owl? I'll be kidding.
EC3 is a national treasure. That's what I took away from this opening segment.
EC3 sits in a chair, he talks to the crowd, I'm totally cool with that. Lashley comes out, he challenges him to a last man standing match. And then we have a last man standing match, which was, I enjoyed this match. This was... it got better as it went on, but, you know.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought it was, went really well. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just a solid way to start the show. And, of course, Bobby Lashley gets a chance to look really good in this. And, you know, that's fine. He's either he does his job too. And I just, you know, it's kind of a can't lose situation with these two guys because I think still they both, at the end of this match, look great.
Yeah, the opening segment was fine. I mean, we're building towards resetting contendership and all of that for the TNA Championship, and then the match they end up having, I thought was pretty darn good. Lashley goes over and continues to look beastly.
That he did, just absolutely looking beastly here. And the only thing that bothered me was like EC3 really didn't even go to that table, and then he can't get up. But he did take a lot of punishment in the match itself. So
yeah, where does this leave EC3 too? With a loss like this, I mean, not that it's not a bad loss.
I mean, he already has a feud with Davey Richards, pretty much, right? Like mm-hmm. he kept mentioning him constantly.
Sure. We're still building on all these missed opportunities he's had recently. That's sort of making him look like he might turn heel based on all the facts that he just can't get the job done this way anymore.
Yeah. That's exactly where my head was going too. I kept thinking to myself,
promo was all about was that hey, you could have taken that chair and won. You didn't do it. What's wrong with you?
True.
I like it. Speaking of heels, Eli Drake is being one right now. He has Tyrus in his services, and he is not talking. He's deciding that he is going to take his lovely talents and not share them with the world because they told him that they didn't want to hear him speak anymore. So he's doing just that, including making a stagehand read a letter he wrote. And then he just totally beats the ever-living crap out of the guy.
Which is, kind of funny. Being, it's kind of funny because, why would you hire Tyrus to intimidate a guy like Swoggle? That's my thing.
What else are you going to have Tyrus do? Because they were having him do nothing for a long time.
I'm just that's the biggest thing I got first.
Talked.
Yeah, that's good. But I'm just thinking to myself, Tyrus, you're hiring this guy to do something that you did on your own anyway. So, yeah. But anyway, at the end of the day, this is, interesting. I really do like, what we're seeing out of, what's going on here, I guess, in a way, because it's kind of weird, and it's kind of, I like Eli Drake, I guess. That's at the bottom line. Eli Drake is interesting to me. This wasn't the strongest thing that they've had, but I guess it kind of makes
you. We didn't like Eli Drake.
Yes,
funny.
I know. I've turned a long on this guy. I used to completely hate him. Now it's a situation where I kind of like him as kind of like TNA's version of Dean Ambrose in a way.
I enjoyed his work with EC3. I don't know if I'm willing to completely turn 180 and say I like the dude. But this seems like just such a giant step back for him. And maybe they're just trying to rebuild him on this so they can push him forward again. But I'm not a giant fan of this pairing personally.
It's not a great pairing, but it's just about making him just this bad, mean, just as heel beating up a little person. I think that gets you on the bad list of a lot of people, but you're right. It's kind of cheesy. It's kind of corny and not their strongest moment with him. That's why I'm kind of like, and that's not good. You want to see him in a better matchup.
Yeah, certainly. Are we talking about the Aaron Rex thing?
No, we're still talking Eli Drake.
We're still talking Drake.
But if you want to you want to talk about Rip Taylor, let's talk about Rip Taylor.
Or Liberace. Yeah.
Whatever you want to say. The way he talked sounded like Rip Taylor to me.
So basically, if you are listening to this and you didn't watch TNA, which is probably more likely than not. Aaron Rex is now sort of this, I'm going to entertain you guy, and I'm going to entertain you in the way that I think I need to entertain you, which is not wrestling, by doing characters and stuff. And I guess he is now going to be sort of gay? Or
it's Gorgeous George.
Well, yeah, Gorgeous George, whatever, you know.
But hold on, now
you can't really do that character like that anymore. It's like you're going to get...
Why can't you?
Because back then, we didn't think about things like this. Right? It didn't bother me that he's doing the character. I don't care. I found it kind of funny at times, especially once What's-His-Face came out to totally embarrass him. But, like, they're doing it that way. Robbie E is he's the dude. If somebody's going to have a problem with a character like that, it's going to be Robbie E. I'm just saying.
No, I get where you're coming from on it, for the fact of, you know, this is, you know, let's just say, you know, Paul mentioned Gorgeous George, and I understand where you're coming from, because Gorgeous George, yes, it was this different time period. But the LGBT thing is, you know, more notable now, and it's a character that really can be portrayed on TNA because they don't really have that. And Sandow, you know, doing this is fine. I don't have a problem with it. Thought it sounded a lot like Rip Taylor, which is fine. I mean, he's a great guy to imitate if you're going to imitate somebody. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I'm not sold on it at the minute. Even adding in Rockstar Spud, I think even Rockstar Spud, if they're going to do this gimmick, make him look even more frilly. Make him look even more kind of like more matching, I guess. I don't know. What do you think, Paul? I'm a little flustered on this one.
This is something that's going to take time. If we're going to see if Aaron Rex can perform this well or not, because it's really going to hinge on his ability to deliver promos and create feuds. And I see where Sean is coming from, because you can't do this the way that it's classically known for, right? Where Gorgeous George was different, and he wasn't a nice person anyways. He worked a heel, obviously, and people had to come up with different ways for him to feud. And it never turned into, at least my memories of Gorgeous George, were never gay bashing. And if that's what this is sort of going towards, I don't think that's what it is. Because you never knew if Gorgeous George was gay. It's just like early Goldust. You didn't know if he was gay either. It plays on mystery, and whether he actually is or not is sort of secondary to the fact that you have this weird guy out here. And he's supposed to be a character. That stuff like that's going to take time. I'm willing to give it a chance. Spud, I think, is a great addition to this. And I'm willing to see where this goes. It's certainly better than what he was doing.
I like the George Michael nod by Rockstar Spud, sort of.
Yeah. It is true. I guess, like I said, I mean, I think it's fine. I like the fact that it is something different, but I'm still a little just unsure how well they're going to be able to push this thing along. And they may do fine. It's so early, it's hard to judge, but I just thought it was a little interesting the way that they've kind of taken Sandow from one way to kind of completely a different. So it's going to be fun to see down the line.
You know what's also going to be fun to see down the line, guys? TNA is bringing back Don West.
I think the silence speaks for itself.
Yeah, me too.
What, you guys don't like Don West?
Why would I like Don West?
He's better than Pope.
I don't even really care about Pope. It's just, I'm just thinking back, it was one of my worst,
oh my God,
terrifying
this is
things.
Like the most train wreck of a commentary table.
Trust me, I was a WCW person. You don't need to tell me about Don West.
Like, I mean, he was great. Okay, I would say this. Like, he made some of the TNA stuff I've watched from back then, like, kind of fun. But he also had the straight man in Mike Tenay. Like, Josh Matthews is just terrible. Mm-hmm. And You got Pope, who's like, I am totally talking my own language, daddy, and I don't care if I say the wrong word or the wrong phrase or whatever. And then you're going to have Don West yelling over him all the time. So it's, I could just, wow. Man. I don't know if they're replacing somebody, if it's going to be a three-man team, but goodness.
No, don't copy WWE in that fashion, please. No. God,
I will not be. Honestly, I will not be surprised if they copy WWE more instead of less. No.
Oh, Jesus.
You got to remember, they're owned by a corporation.
Yeah.
So they're going to look at what's working over there in the other place and go, oh, let's do that.
Well, why don't they just spend the money and get, you know, Otunga over there to TNA? Please, just say, look, you know.
Because Jennifer Hudson wants to know what he's actually doing.
Okay. She's like, you're not on really on TV, are you? I don't ever see you. He's like, no, I'm on TV. Where?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No.
I've never even heard of Pop TV. I've never even heard of it.
That doesn't exist. You're lying. You're cheating on me.
But anyway, so we get, okay, do you guys understand the point of, like, why does DCC even wear the masks anymore if we already know who you are?
Yeah.
Like I can't tell that that's James Storm with his long-ass hair coming out of the mask. I mean, come on.
Once they demasked, too, they still did the voice thing. I'm like, guys, we know who you are. No longer disguise your voice. Come on. Yeah,
right. I mean, they're just trying to build up the gimmick is all. I mean, L.I.J. still wears Mask of the Ring. We know who they are. What's the big
thing?
Oh, I mean,
but, like, Bushi, that's because he's a lucha guy. But
no, Bushi aside, all the guy, like, Wrestle Kingdom, the three-man team walked in all wearing the skull masks.
That's entrances, though. They don't talk in the masks.
Well, I'm just saying, it's part of the gimmick. It's part of what they're trying to build the aura around. I don't have a problem with it. The voice modulation, I have a problem with. The masks is whatever.
No, I mean, it's fine. I did like their promo. I thought the promo was actually pretty solid. I like the Kingston guy is growing on me, too. I like him.
Eddie Kingston's the greatest. Yeah. I'm just going to say that right now. He's so great. He's one of my favorites in Chikara. He's the reason I started watching AEW. Dude is great.
I have no problem with any of these guys. I think this thing
it's a real shame that Kingston has to.
I'm just saying, I don't personally have a problem with James Storm.
Well, I'm still waiting for, like, you know, James Storm to come out and then, like, I'm randomly going to be like, the Cowboys! It's like, why?
Go away, Storm. Nobody wants you here.
Oh, man. I mean, at the end of the day, those masks need to be saved for creepy times when they're, you know, doing something really creepy. You really don't need to wear them to the ring, though. I don't know. It's whatever.
So, the Bram and Kingston wound up having a match against the Decay. This was fine. I mean, Abyss and Crazy Steve are not the greatest wrestlers in the world. You know, this was just kind of there to continue the story.
Yeah, you're right. It's nothing much. And, you know, I think the promos were more important than even the match.
Yeah, I think you're right there, too. And it's a double count out. It keeps the feud going. It's sort of whatever. This is leftover tag team stuff that we can't do with the Hardys right now is all that's happening here.
Yeah, and they do have more stuff with the women as well as Maria. Gets mad at Allie because she's not standing at attention when Maria calls her. Basically, she guarantees that the Miracle Mike Bennett is going to finish Braxton Sutter tonight so that she cannot keep training to be a wrestler because Allie is never going to be a wrestler ever. Ever. I feel like I need to be watching, like, Mommy Dears or something. So, you know, they have this match, Braxton Sutter and Mike Bennett. Bennett gets distracted, of course, because you knew that Bennett wasn't going to win this match. The whole point is to continue to have Allie continue to be a training and wrestling and getting better so she can eventually show us the why they signed her kind of thing. I'm fine with this. I mean, it continues the story. All that, you know.
Yeah. It's a fun story. I praised it. And I will say this. This is not the brightest moment of this whole storyline. But it wasn't awful. I just was not just overly excited about it. You know, Bennett and Braxton had a fine, you know, match what it is. And the ending of it was kind of a little bit silly. Like, I get it, you know, it's, oh, look, you turn him over for the 1-2-3, you know, the schoolboy pin type thing. It is fine. We've seen this 100 times. But at the end of the day, I was just not overly. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't overly thrilled with this. It was fine. I was just not thrilled.
Despite them introducing Sutter into all this, he still seems really flat. Like, I'm not overly interested in him at all.
He's just a bland dude.
He's just guy training Allie. He's not a character.
Uh-huh. Yep. But hey, you know, speaking of characters, they get one back with Brooke Tessmacher getting an interview saying, you know, she had a baby and. While she wants to continue being an awesome mom, she also wants to wrestle. So next week, she's going to shake up that knockouts division.
Well, I don't think she's an awesome mom. She didn't bring her kid to work like Rebby
does. Oh,
boy. I'm just saying.
Wrestle with the kid in the backpack.
Yeah, come on.
Wouldn't that be the opposite?
I'm just saying, Rebby brings her kid to work. I mean, come on. I mean, anyway.
Not all kids can be as awesome as King Maxwell, though.
That is true. That is true. And maybe, you know, Brooke Tessmacher's kid, you know, was asking for a bigger contract. Negotiations didn't go out well.
Right.
So, yeah, Tessmacher being back is, I think, a good idea. I mean, it's good for this knockouts division.
Yeah, I mean, Brooke is somebody they did pretty well building on before. I think she's a good wrestler too. So I'm interested to see what they do with it. Plus, they really need another person for that knockouts division. So a welcome addition.
Everything Paul said is totally right. Also, I wonder if maybe, you know, she didn't want to bring the baby because she was worried about the baby being broken, and then you know you had the broken babies over there with the Hardys too.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
Everything. Well, they do have another women's segment here right before the main event with Rosemary sending an invitation to Jade because, you know, she is now the new Knockouts champion and that she, if she wants a rematch, she's going to have to get it in the Monsters Ball. I feel like every time these guys open their mouths, Monsters Ball, we're having it. I mean, look, I'm not going to say because Jade had a really good, she's had really good matches and she's a great wrestler and Rosemary's a good, you know, a good wrestler too. I'm sure the match will be pretty good. I'm just making a bit about the fact that they, every time this is like if Kane decided every time, every like fifth match he had, Inferno match, guys.
Yeah. It's so overdone. I can't help it because you're so right on this. Come up with something new or find another way of, you know, making this more interesting. You don't always have to do a Monsters Ball, but okay. Yeah, sure. You know.
I mean, Monsters Ball doesn't even mean the same as what it did whenever they first introduced it. So it's sort of its own joke now, really. But
jeez.
I loved Rosemary's promo here. I thought she was great.
Yeah.
She's so good at that character. She's got it down pat. There's great, like the way she delivers the promos. It feels very otherworldly, and I think she's in for a great year.
She sells you very well on the whole she's talking to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that I think that TNA needs to continue with and not derail it, because sometimes they go and get a little too creative and change things. Don't do that. Just let her do what she's doing, and you know, just build on that.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I'm just sad that there's no more Marilyn Manson when they come out. That song is so generic.
Oh, it's awful.
Anthem, you really couldn't afford Marilyn Manson, you guys?
Cheapskates.
Enough money? Okay. I feel like they just wanted to take away almost anything that had to do with, like, when Dixie was in charge.
You mean Billy Corgan?
Or Billy Corgan, yeah. Whatever, both of them. Because neither one was doing anything.
I know. I want to challenge somebody to a Dixieland match, but maybe not down the line.
Dixieland. So you get the Hardys and the Wolves, and you know this was going to be really good. These two have faced off before. They know each other, and I love the promo before backstage where Matt Hardy's like, "The Wolves are a team that's easy to defeat," said no one ever. "But we are still going to delete them later." They hinted at certain things, though, with Davey and Eddie Edwards earlier, too, with Davey saying he's kind of jealous of Eddie winning the title. He feels naked, so that's why they're going to get these titles back, so that Davey doesn't feel naked, I guess.
I was just uncomfortable with the thought process of him being naked. But
I knew that was coming.
Well, like, you
can't stop it. Just
The image just pops up, and you're like, "Whoa," you know. But anyway,
Angelina has to deal with that now. So.
Angelina Love. No wonder she's trying to get out of the house. But you know, at the end of the day, I think that this works, because you do have that kind of tension between the American Wolves and, of course, you know, throwing them here with the Hardys and having a pretty decent match. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. You know, it wasn't over the top great, but it was good. And at the end, you do have that tension still there between the American Wolves, because things do not work out that way and the way they want it, and they're not champions, or at least tag team champions together. So I think it does leave you with intrigue with those guys, and something I can hold on to.
I thought they did a really good job in this as well, too. Is that it's another easily definable team that TNA's done a good job of building in the Wolves for the Hardys to beat as they continue on their divine mandate from the seven deities to be the best tag team in all of time and space. And you get to do some breakage here with Edwards and Richards and show some cracks are there. And maybe Davey isn't so okay with all the success that Eddie's had in his absence. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this pays off.
Yeah,
totally. And that's your TNA.
All righty. Well, guys, that means we are on to one last thing to do in the show. And that is, of course, crowning a superstar of the week. So we'll be right back with that next.
Superstar of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, let's do this thing right and start off with our first point, going to Matanza.
Yeah, Matanza had that great death match with Dragon Azteca Jr. this week on Lucha Underground, and he may or may not have killed them. We don't know. And he may or may not be dead. There's so many deaths happening. We don't know. It's great.
That's right. It's kind of cool to see that, Asuka's not the only one killing people.
It's true.
We've got 2 points going over to Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Chris Jericho winning the U.S. title on Raw, even though it was a handicap match. Making freaking great history. I think he won every single title you can win in the WCW and now in WWE.
Grand Slam champion, I guess, right? That's awesome. 3 points will be going over to the Hardys.
Yeah, defended their TNA Tag Team Championships in a fantastic contest with the Wolves, and they continue to prove that they may, in fact, be the best tag team in all time and space.
True that. 4 points will be going over to another tag team, and that's American Alpha.
Yeah, they had a pretty good match with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton themselves, and they wind up retaining their titles.
And 5 points, along with our crown of Superstar of the Week, will be going to the tag team of DIY.
Maybe the best tag team, and maybe the best match we had all week was DIY's contest with the Revival and that rematch for the tag team titles on NXT this week. DIY retained. They look great. I really can't wait to see what else that this rest of this year has in store for both of those teams.
Definitely. So there you go, folks. There is our Superstar of the Week, DIY, Gargano and Ciampa. All right. Well, that is our show. We've had an amazing one for you guys. We've had a lot of fun, but we've got to move on and, of course, let you know that the W2M Network is there for you to go subscribe to. If you want to get all our content, it's just one easy click away. So don't forget that. Plus, also, go check out W2Mnet.com. Not only going to find this podcast and more podcasts there, but you'll also find all our written reviews and all the other written content that we have available when it comes to the world of wrestling. Plus also video games and a little football as well. So don't forget to go check out that website. And of course, you know, Sean, there's some other things that we may need to let the people know. Anything you have?
Yeah, video game to the max. We did a reaction to the Nintendo Switch event that happened a couple of days ago. So you can hear us give our opinions on the Switch right after the event finished. Then we also have a Football to the Max with Gary and I that Gary already mentioned. A tremendous interview with Rochelle Carpenter, a longtime San Diego Chargers fan, or now Los Angeles Chargers fan. And she gives you everything you could want to know about why they are no longer in San Diego and just her heartbreak of missing her team now. We also preview the NFL Division Around playoffs, which may already be on by the time you are listening to this if you care about NFL football at all. And, there's a new Facing the Pain MMA podcast previewing that UFC Fight Night 103 that's happening on Sunday. And, yeah, just,
lots of great content. Definitely. So go check out those shows and many, many more. We thank all of you for coming and checking this show out, of course. Please go rate and review. If you don't, don't do it for us, then people won't know about us. So, hey, do us a favor and just go do that. Just take you a few minutes. And, of course, we also will see you guys next week. Of course, we'll be back for this show next Tuesday night. And, of course, we'll also have part two on Thursday night. So until then.
Full review of the UK tournament thing on the Monday show.
Oh, that's awesome. That's going to be great. So be looking forward to that as well. So, man, we've got all the content you could ever think of. So come find us if you haven't already found all the other shows we do. All right. Until next week, guys, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Peace.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.